Hi, everyone, and welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for May 16th, 2022. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is episode number 342. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and you should be seeing my screen right now. And so we're going to look at some charts and talk about the markets for this week. And today I've arranged for Sonny Harris to join us, as well as Simon Klein. And the option professor is here to moderate again. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay. Well, we had a really big week last week, volatile as anyone could hope for. And then this week, we're kind of on both sides of even here today. So we'll have to see what's going to be happening, because I think the last 2 weeks of this month will probably be very exciting. So good to have you with us. And let's see what our guests are going to say here today. We got two fantastic guests. One is Sonny Harris and the other one's Simon Klein. They both look at the markets from their own vantage point, and we're going to ask what their vantage point is. But before we get started, let's find out who they are. So, Sonny Harris, a little background on yourself, please.
Sure. Thank you. I'm a PhD mathematician, and I'm a programmer. For 52 years, I've been programming, and I'm an easy language expert and author of 7 books, and I've been trading for 41 years, and I have a website called Money Mentor,
which we'll get into later. And we'll also get into your Sonny bands, which have been very effective as far as the market trends are concerned. Let's go over to Simon Klein. Simon's been in the business at all different levels for a long time, very knowledgeable. Simon, a little background on yourself, please.
So my background, like Sonny, is in computers as well. I actually started out at a computer science degree at University College London. You have to excuse my voice. It's this time of year, I always kind of lose my voice for a few days, seasonal. So I started out with a computer science degree. As an undergraduate, I actually worked with, I worked in the Department of Neuroscience as well for my final year project, which was really interesting. And the person that I worked under, his supervisor of his project was a guy called John O'Keefe, and he not so long ago got a Nobel Prize for his contribution to the world of neuroscience and play cells. So I was actually working under Michael Retche, who worked under him as an undergraduate, which was kind of interesting, at UCL in London. And then basically straight out of university, I was offered a job at Credit Suisse, and that was my introduction to the world of banking and finance. And then I went on to work as a trader and for various prop firms. And then decided there was a problem in the world of trading education, that there's not one size fits all. So I decided to start a trading education business, which would help people to develop themselves as traders, but within a framework that works for all different sorts of personalities and lifestyles, so people can find themselves. And that's been super successful. And we have many successful traders now that are trading all markets, all different styles of trading, and all successful, which is kind of interesting. The ones that are successful already are trading their own kind of methodologies within that framework. So we worked on a way of developing traders in the most successful way, rather than trying to fit people into, you know, here's my strategy, you do my strategy, and it doesn't work. Right. So this is what I saw was missing in the world of trading education. So I kind of did to slip in that and help people become successful.
Yeah, I think you're making a very good point, which doesn't get made enough. And that is, rather than just giving somebody some money and then following them like people followed Jim Jones into, you know, Jonestown, you know, it's better that you teach them and then they either have a methodology they can develop on their own, but they're calling their own shots and they're independently responsible for their activities. And that's a lot better than giving a guy $5,000 or $10,000, following him off a cliff, which is a lot of people have done in the last year and a half. So
yeah, completely.
Your point of trying to develop somebody and get them into a methodology that they can rely on themselves, because at the end of the day, it is their own money. And, you know, following somebody who's quoting, you know, I bought Amazon in 2000 for this and look how much money I made. You know, that's just silly, because unless you have another stock that's going to do like Amazon did, which you probably don't have, you shouldn't really be promoting that as some kind of I'm a smart guy. You know what I mean?
I'm with Simon. I teach fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, like, I think it's a better way to go because, like I say, you know, when the market's rising, you know, everyone's got a good record. And then, of course, when people start referring to things that happened 20 years ago, of course, they have a good history. Anybody who bought anything back then does. And so that's not really helpful when you're getting on the boat or where you're going into the building on the 100th floor and there's only one more floor left. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you know what the most difficult thing is? Because the easy, I mean, you obviously like have to get involved a little bit in the world of marketing to reach the people that you need to reach.
Yeah.
So in the marketing world, it's very difficult to sell someone who has to actually put some work into it. People want a strategy that they're just going to do and make money, and invariably that doesn't work. I mean, it works for some
kind of strategy that maybe they think is like plastic parsley that they could use for the rest of their life, not realizing that the trends change and things change, you know?
Yeah, markets change. And just like I like to use the analogy of driving a car, you know, just because you can drive a car in one condition, you know, it doesn't mean you can drive it. So you learn to drive in, I don't know, in nice sunny conditions, and now you need to drive in the snow. Different way of driving, or different between, you know, driving in pedestrian rich area, you know, than on the freeway or highway or motorway.
Yeah, the most popular seem to have been growth and momentum guys. And growth and momentum guys do very well when there's zero interest rates and when there's no inflation. But when that game changes and you stick with growth and momentum, you're going to get whacked and you're going to get whacked hard. And that's pretty much the story in the last year. Because the people that have subscribed to growth and momentum guys have, those are the ones who've seen the 50, 70 and 80% drop in some of these stocks, you know, like the Palantirs of the world and, you know, their names, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at any rate, let's do what we do on a Monday morning. And that's what we do is we say the stock market on the S&P, I'm using SPX at 39.63. It opened at, and where do we think on Friday it might close? And let's start out with Sunny. Where are we going to be, up, down, sideways, and what's your confidence level?
Well, I'm going to have let's look at the E-mini.
You got a 40-point head start here right now, so well. you can take a 40-point head start, or you're going to lose your lead here, or what's going on?
Futures contract's down 10 points right now on the S&P. And it was all over the map this morning. It basically has gone nowhere.
Yeah.
If I look at a 1 minute chart, it goes violently up and then violently down and up and down again and ends up right where it started. So this is do nothing so far. I think Friday's move up was exciting for people and they don't know what to do with it today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
today's today. What about between now and Friday?
Friday, I think we're going to do, because we are on my sunny bands, we are above the lower inner band, which is usually a bullish sign. I am about 50-50, but I'm kind of expecting it to move up to the dynamic moving average midline, which is at 41.50. So that's a ways up on your chart there.
Yeah, well, like I say, if it can hold this 4,000 neighborhood and get going, you know, there's a chance
right
of that.
Cursor is right now. Look at those bars. They touch it. That's what I call an attractor. So that 41.50 has its calling to price. So I think we're going to go up to there.
Yeah. Staying above this 4,004, 4,006 area seems to be kind of important. What do you think? Is this a current price of 40.19?
40.16 is what I'm showing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that as well.
Yeah, this is the...
I've been looking at this 4,004, 4,005, 4,006 neighborhood, and it did go underneath it. Then it got above it. It seems like that's kind of a reasonably important area short term.
Yeah, right through there.
And if it breaks,
very important. And it's going to have to break. Is that a 21-day average, David, on the orange one?
It's 10 and 50.
10 and 50. Well, it's going to have to pass that 10 line for sure in order to go up by Friday. Mm-hmm. But I think it was certainly tested.
Yeah, and that comes in around 40, something like that?
Yeah, it looks like 40-50 maybe.
Yeah, I can see that.
Would you mind putting a 21 day on there as well? Can you do that? EMA. SMA is what I prefer, but that's good enough. It tells, we can see there that's going up. Yeah, simple moving average. There we go.
And the RSI is floating around 50, so that's not a bad sign. So if it does start moving up and the RSI starts turning up well above 50, that would be a good sign to get that rally going.
It would be a great sign. So that orange one now is where I think it's going.
Yeah. They tried to bring it down here in the morning, and obviously that's failed so far, but we'll have to see how it goes as time goes on. But clearly, it definitely looks like it's trying to make a turn back up.
Yeah, that's what I meant by
21
violent swings. Yes, violent swings up and down on the 1 minute chart. You know, it's and you know, we're now at a minus 2 points on the S&P.
Yeah. Simon, what's your take on between now and Friday? If you do have a take on it.
Can I take the screen? Because I can show you something that's difficult to see on.
I think it's always better to have your screen up while you're talking about something. You know what I mean?
You should be able to now.
Yep. Let me see if I can get the right screen. Does it come up? You can see the screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is kind of interesting. I call this like decision making, because let's go down the time frames. Yeah. This is a monthly chart. And clearly we broke this monthly uptrend and we broke the uptrend. So we're actually not in an uptrend. It's a lower high, lower low. We just stopped at this demand area. Okay. So we're moving up from here. Now the interesting thing is a weekly chart. See, we've got, these are zones. These are what my demand zone. And we broke this zone, but we stopped at the next level down, this one. Now, I look at the strength of this and it could move up to there. That means potentially we could get up to Sunny's area, 41.50. Now, if you look at the movement before, this is an extended move down and we're starting to move up. Notice we're trapped between zones here. Now, if we go to a daily chart, you can see what happened. We're moving up from that level, the weekly level below, but we've got another level that we broke down here. Now notice we moved up last time, we went down, so we're probably going to do the same thing. We're going to move up and then continue probably to the downside until the trend changes. The trend's down here at the moment on the daily. Yep. And if we go down to, and you can see the market today, so the market today is basically going up and down. As Sonny was saying, you can see it clearly on a 5 minute chart or a 15 minute chart, clearly on an hourly chart, it's doing nothing. But one thing you can say about this price action, you see these levels here, you see a thrust down, tries to go up, it went down, and then we're back up and we're hovering around the highs. That's usually a sign we're probably going to break this level. So I think short term, we're probably going to go up and then we'll probably continue moving down after. So I would imagine maybe by the end of the week, you know, we'll probably be slightly higher than where we are now.
And we got some things happening that could be helpful. We're going to get retail sales and home sales, and retail sales, you know, may show that people are not spending on durable goods, but the money has shifted over to services and experiences. And that could show up in the retail sales here this week. And then you've also got home sales, which, you know, you would imagine is moderating a little bit because the refi and the mortgage applications are a little bit weak. But we'll have to see. These numbers come out of the blue sometimes. Huh? And China's numbers, obviously, today were terrible. But why wouldn't they be terrible if you lock all your citizens in their hotel? I mean, in their apartments. You know, how much business can you do, right?
Yeah. But so that's what I'm focused on.
Simon, if you look at your on the bottom right chart, your 5 minute ES.
5 minute.
You've got your CCI is showing, you know, if you go back to 9:45, I think it says back here, we've got a nice
divergence set.
Yes, nice divergent.
And yeah, this is could buy here, could buy down here, sell up there, and you can see how it's hovering at the top now. Mm-hmm. The lows are getting higher.
So to me, that speaks of more movement to the upside as well.
Yeah, so long as we hold them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's stepping up, demand stepping up, and supply is not really stepping down, and maybe it will here. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And again, we're in just choppy sideways zone. You know that ahead of time because look where we are. We're trapped between two areas here.
Right.
Moving up in a downward moving market is tricky.
And on my charts, I'm trapped between the lower outer band and the lower inner band of the Sunny band. So it's the same kind of analysis, really.
What's your Sunny bands based on?
It's math that I wrote years ago to avoid whipsaw. I don't like most moving averages because they whipsaw a lot. So I decided to apply my field of endeavor to charts and create a new moving average that doesn't whipsaw.
That's cool.
So the Sunny bands are based on that. We want to see
one of the problems with moving averages, they do get whipsawed during choppy markets, right?
Sure. Let's have a look at Sunny bands. I mean, I only have one indicator you can see on my chart, CCI. I almost don't use it. It's just there because, it's got one in it. I just trade off price action primarily.
David, can you let me share?
Yeah, you should be able to now.
There you go. There it is. So you can see the gold and purple lines in the middle of the bands. Those are the two dynamic moving average lines. And then the upper, this line I'm pointing to, the teal one is upper inner band. The green one's upper outer band. Likewise on the bottom, it's the lower inner band and the lower outer band. And when you can see right now, price is right there between the lower inner and the lower outer. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for it to get beyond that. The tendency is for it to follow it on down. If it moves up, it's going to hit this DMA and do this kind of action where it hits there and then falls back again. I do think that we're not through over the longer term. We're not through going down yet. But I do think we're going to try to move up to that DMA in the middle.
Yeah,
so there they are.
Yeah, I mean, and that gives you a great illustration on how the major trends are still way down, but you could get a dead cat bounce out of here.
Yeah.
On the bottom, like when it went to 4,600, you know, who knows, you know, under certain circumstances, it could blow everybody out and go back up towards the upper band.
Sure, sure. On the bottom, that chart is my dynamic moving average histogram, and it plots the difference between the gold and purple line. So if the difference is positive, it's gold. If the difference starts reducing, it turns red. And that I use, look where it sells. See right there, it sells on that bar. And then it comes down, it goes below zero and on purple. When it turns green, that's, you're looking for a buy there. I always require that you watch price. Everything must be confirmed by price.
And what's the blue bar there as opposed to the red, just up or down? So you go with blue rather than green on the up or down?
Yeah, I do, because sunny bands are green. And so
yeah, you don't want to get the colors weird up.
Yeah, just to make the colors easier to see.
Is there any particular stock or market or, you know, something you want to illustrate besides this? Like, what about the Qs? I mean, is this going to, you know, are we going to get a relief in interest rates, maybe a relief rally in the bond market that'll give a relief rally to the Qs? Is that possible?
Or? Let's look at the bonds and see.
Yeah.
The Qs look just like the ES. Bonds are headed back down. It looks like they're, see, they hit that dynamic moving average in the middle.
Yeah.
They hit that 1, 2, 3. You can't get through it yet. Although this is still saying these histogram bars are green, still saying it's looking for more upward. But again, we have to have price confirm that. And so far, price has not. So this is a place to buy if and only if it goes above this flat dynamic moving average, flat DMA.
Sunny, can I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
So you use your indicators, sunny bands and the histogram to tell you what to do. And then you look at that first, and then you look at price. And if price confirms, you take a trade.
Absolutely.
I
trade long-term stocks and very short-term, the E-mini. And I've been doing it for 41 years. I've had the sunny bands for 35 years, I think, that I've been trading. And it's just clear. I mean, it just tells you exactly where price is. And it does a great, you know, right there, there's a short. See, over here, there's where it says short. So it's kind of amazing, I think. Of course, I wrote it, but, you know, I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. And so if that's what is going on there, what are the Qs looking like?
Qs look just like the ES. See, they're down there between the lower outer and lower inner, stuck.
Yeah.
And if they don't get above this lower inner band and go up, then they're going to go on down. See how this price just keeps following that down until it finally breaks out. Here it broke out, but it didn't even make it up to the DMA and started back down again. This is a real sign of weakness right here.
And in the small caps, IWM?
Well, it's broken the lower inner band. So it's moved up. I think then that means it's going to go on up to the DMA.
Yeah, it's which a little is stronger than the Qs.
185.3 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit stronger now. What is that?
These are small caps, which probably would be a lot of these ones that lost 70 and 60 and 80% of their value.
Right.
Which should be qualified as small cap
now
by
you
now.
See the histogram on the bottom went green right there, there. And that's where it said to go long.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next bar, yep, confirmed it. So you go long. I would go long.
And how about a sector like XBI, which is your biotech? You know, it's really been sold out. And some people are thinking that it's got a bounce in it. Yeah, it'll bounce a little bit there.
Mm-hmm. Same story.
Yeah.
Green on the histogram right there. Price confirmed it. And I can even see that little bar moving up a little bit real time. So we're going on up to 70, 74.53, looks like. Mm-hmm. 74.28, something in there.
Mm-hmm. And what about that gold? It's on the ledge at around $1,800 an ounce.
Oh, that's going on down.
Yeah. That little blue is just hanging on for dear life, you think?
Yeah, and we've got purple down below on the histogram, which says sell. So yeah, it's just hanging out by itself like that one. That one and that one, it's just...
It's kind of holding on. It's holding on by a thread.
It really is. And the attractor...
it does look a little oversold there. Down here, but that's not the only reason to be positive on anything.
The attractor's at 1776. That's an interesting...
Yeah, very patriotic.
Yeah.
Directly going into Memorial Day.
Yeah, right. So I think that's where we're dropping.
Yeah.
I'd like to see gold above 2,000, though.
To get that, it's got to go through a bunch of backyards to get up there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What about that crude oil? How's that looking?
Crude is up at 113 right now.
Yeah.
And could easily go on up to this. Well, it probably will go up to this outer band,
right,
which is 117 and change.
Right.
And whether it's going to take it on back up to here, to this level, nobody knows, but I watch it when it touches the band. I just watch it carry it on up until the bar turns is blue above the band and turns red inside the band, confirmed by this DMAH on the bottom. See, it said to go long right there.
Yeah.
When it turns purple again or goes above the line and becomes gold and then red, I just read those signals. I'm a very boring trader.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're trying to follow the signals. And one last one, soybean. That'll be agriculture. Because they said the wheat was going nuts the other day.
Wheat is going nuts. And who was it just this morning said they weren't going to export any more wheat?
India.
India, yeah. Yeah. So we've got a potential head and shoulders right there on soybeans. Look at that. It's not done yet, but I'm going to guess it's going to the inner band and then back down to form that head and shoulders. It doesn't make sense logically if you look at the world and say, well, we need soybeans and where are they coming from? But I don't look at fundamentals very much. I just look at price.
And can you get a Goldman Sachs commodity index to give us a broad based on what that is telling us? Of course, that's mostly, I think it's, I had it as a GCD or something like that. I'm just going to double check it.
Nope.
Goldman. You should also look at the crypto world, Bitcoin. I know you've got Bitcoin there, Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Yeah, you want to put up either Bitcoin or GBTC, and there's Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin's going down, down, down. It's got one up, one blue bar that goes up inside of between the two lower bands. Then a red candle right here is coming back down. I do think it's going down. I hate to say that because I own Ethereum. And it's under my buy-in price now. I've had it for a long while, but I'm not going to get rid of it because I'm seeing this as some sort of grand experiment. And I do think that, and let's look at Ethereum for a second. I think Ethereum's going to go back up. I really do think that we're going to see at least 3,200 on this one. We'll come up into this range right here. I don't know what's going to make it do that, but I do think it will. Look, we've got a buy a green bar. So green histogram bar on the bottom, two bars. So, and price confirmed it. So that says it's going up, even though that's a red candle today. It still says the prognosis is up.
But the Goldman Sachs thing was a GDK. And if we could go back on a long-term monthly graph, I'm trying to see if we're somewhere near the high on the commodity sector here. Or
GDK.
If we're gonna go, yeah, well, that's what it is on my machine, GDK22.
Oh, it's a futures.
Yeah.
That GDK doesn't do it.
I guess every machine has their own.
No, I can't get it.
Yeah. All right. Well, you give a good idea. You know, energy, the high in 2008 on energy was 147. So we're still, and the high recently is 131. So the market is bouncing back up, but it hasn't gone into new territory, right?
Yeah.
And then on the gold, the high was like 2100. And obviously not much risk of that right this second.
Right.
The soybeans, I think, topped out at 18. The wheat is, because wheat had a big drop. Is wheat just a rebound?
Let's take a look at wheat. Yeah. Oh, that's a nice big up move today based on India, I'm sure.
But the 1375 is still intact, huh?
It is. It is so far. You see that yellow dot that's on that 1375? I have a, of course, I have an indicator for everything. But these yellow dots, I call my PHW indicator, potential hourly wage. And I use these to measure how much money is possible to make in this particular symbol. So, you know, if you can't make more trading than you'd make working at McDonald's, then the choice is obvious.
Right. Yeah, that's really come back up very sharply, a real squeeze going on there, I guess, huh?
I think you're right.
Simon, yeah.
Up to here.
Yep. And you want to just throw it while you, and I'm going to move over to Simon so he can show us some stuff as well. Let's just go over a couple of big names, Apple, Microsoft, Google, you know, to name three.
You want me to go over them?
Your turn, Simon.
Oh, okay. You guys see gold?
Yes.
Yeah, I see it.
Look at Apple.
Well, you know, I mean, actually, do you have any ideas of your own that you'd like to throw up there? I'm just throwing out some major names to see if they are confirming some kind of a turn here or not.
Let's get a look at Bitcoin. This is very interesting.
Yeah, because things that you favor, you know.
So from a trend perspective, we're not in an uptrend. This is what, watch this. This one move up, pull back, second move up. Now watch this. This move down stopped. So if we look at it like this, we have a move down, move up, and this move down will be similar to this move. You see the symmetry here and here, and then here and here. This is not an uptrend anymore. We broke the trend here. And notice we broke this level. So this move up is probably going to get sold. And I think we're going down. There's a possibility we go down the next level down here. Mm-hmm. You can see we bounced. Why do we bounce here? I'll show you exactly. It's exactly where 25,000 area. Look at this. Go left. See, there's a gap here.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly around the 20. If you go back in the middle of it, it's around 25,000. It dropped here to 25,000. Now, the next level down is down here. Now, usually when you get price action like this, it's an extended move here that breaks below demand. I knew this level wasn't going to hold, but you hit the next level down and snap back, which is what happened. But I think we've got some more downside. And I think the next stopping point for the market is around 20,000 on the downside. You see this void? We've got a tradable void here, apart from the gap.
Yeah, that makes sense, Simon.
So we've got room to drop down. I primarily focus on levels, supply and demand levels, and price action trend. And that's how I read the market. And I look at the levels, I can see the trend here. I mean, you can see very clearly here. And we called in our trading room. When this closed, we want to be on the short side. We're looking for a move below here to the next level down, which was 25,000. So you can see a drop from 40,000 down to 25,000 was your first target area if you're on the short side here. The beginning of this month. The monthly bar closed down. You want to be on the short side here. So how do you get into the trade? Well, you wait until you get a move up on a smaller time frame and then you sell it to a level. Yeah. So you can manage your risk. So that was that play. But now, and you can see we clearly kind of bounce, and now we're going to kind of chop around this area, which is exactly what happened. On the upside, if we get above here, then we've got room to move either to this level, 35,000 area, or back up to 40,000. You see what I mean? And then we may have another leg down to the 20,000. But the moment,
what do you think about down? What do you think about Bitcoin fundamentally, Simon?
Fundamentally,
Is it a good thing?
Interesting
for the
question.
World or not?
I think the world of decentralized finance is probably going to become more mainstream. It might take a bit of time, but I think ultimately everything else has been digitalized, from music to film to kind of everything else. The last world that, you know, that is, has not been digitalized is the world of finance.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, you know.
Do you think it's going to happen? It's just a matter of time to get.
I think it's a matter of time. And I think, yeah, I think it's a matter of time.
We're having a little bit of a liquidity crisis, don't you think, Simon, in that, you know, Coinbase is having some trouble with those stable coins. And then you've got a situation where the GBTC is trading way underneath its net asset value, and confidence in Bitcoin has definitely gone out the window, as well as a lot of wealth. So is there a possibility of a black swan even more than we've seen where, you know, people, you know, the news just really turns badly? Because they were saying if these companies are holding your coins and they go bankrupt, you're what they call an unsecured creditor. Mm-hmm. That's got to hurt the confidence. I mean,
you must hold your own, you know, not on an exchange.
Yeah, but a lot of people are holding it at these companies, correct?
So I wouldn't do that. I would hold it in your own. And then you've got no risk apart from a key or whatever.
yeah. But like all those things that were dismissed as risks are now coming to the forefront. And when you have, just like when you had the real estate problem in 08 or the dot-com, when the people lose confidence and the liquidity dries up, you know, you have a recipe for who knows what, right?
But if you think about it, if you look, if you compare it to property, if you're talking about a store of value, then if you look at cash, cash is not a good store of value with inflation. Yeah. So yeah. If you store money in the bank, you're losing money. So you need to find somewhere to store money longer term. So, I mean, property, people have traditionally in property, commodities, gold, oil, you know, and if this becomes the new kind of infrastructure of Web3, of, you know, the decentralized finance world, especially Ethereum, Bitcoin, then this could be, you know, this is like real estate. It's a good store of value, even though now it's gone down, which is a good thing. It means you can buy it cheaper. So I'm looking to buy as it goes down. I mean, if it goes down to 20,000, 10,000, you know, I'm looking to buy longer term. I think there's another opportunity. I wouldn't buy it. I would never buy a push up to new highs. Never, never. You want to buy as it's coming down, not as it's going up. If you think about
like
what the majority
of gone down and then starts going up. I don't like to buy while it is going up.
So you have to figure out. I mean, there's other ways. Like we've called in our trading room every single move of this market. If you look at this, see this move up here from the lows.
Mm-hmm.
So the other chance to gain was when it came back down here again.
There's been a lot of loss. There's a lot of loss here, though. I mean, most of the people who bought this thing are way underwater. Do you think that's going to make them want to come back in? Or do you think it could actually be a deal where it goes dead in the water for a while?
Well, if you look at most people that buy anything in the majority of people trying to trade out there are not making money. Yep. So
I mean, unless you're shorting, because I mean, you went from 4,800 to 4,000, you went from whatever the NASDAQ high was to way down here. You've gone from 60,000 down to 20,000.
Here's a telltale sign. When this broke to new highs, what was the news saying? Bitcoin's going to 100,000.
Right. Like, in fact, didn't that one guy have like a party boat planned? That Michael Saylor, he said when it hits 100,000, I'm going to have a cruise or something.
Yeah. So how do you know it's time to sell when the market's hitting new highs and they're thinking it's going to the moon? That's usually when it's not going to do that. It's turning around. And you can see another thing, another telltale sign, this move down went below this area. It's a very important area. So on the move up, we stopped here. So there's your telltale sign. This move up is not going to take out the highs. This is a move up to go lower as opposed to move down. This is a difference between understanding this is it's not a pullback to go higher. This is a reversal. So this move up is to go lower. This is a pullback to go lower. It's understanding how to read charts. I focus just on charts, become very sensitive to price action. And that's all I focus on. I mean, indicators, I look at it 1% of the time. I virtually don't look at it. It's just there because I've traditionally had it on my chart. I got used to kind of looking at a chart like that.
You find it hard, Simon, to play bear market bounces? In other words, that's a little bit more dodgy playing the because you know you're kind of guessing that the thing might drop, might stop, and you know.
Traded this today on the long side, the Aussie dollar. From down this intraday, so I got in. Can you see? I got in kind of.
No, that here. Looks like a nice turn.
And first target area was here at 45. And next target area is here. If it breaks this area, I'm looking for this up here. Choppy move, but that's what it was doing today. It's intraday trade.
Does the Canadian look similar?
Don't trade the Canadian dollar.
Oh, okay. Because they kind of run in tandem a little bit. Maybe not now.
Canadian dollar is a commodity.
Right.
It should go oil. You can see it's going down. You see we broke above. You see it based for quite some time when we broke above. This could be a clue that we're on our way down again. If we close in here at the end of the week, then we may break below. That could be interesting.
You know, some guys on TV are talking about the euro going to 95 or 100. Do you see that in the cards, or do you think this is a
going down to not right? So here's something very interesting about the euro. Watch this. I've called almost every move of this as well. Now you see this is like a base, and we're right at the bottom here.
Right.
But we haven't broken the level yet.
Right.
Now watch this. The euro makes up 57% of the dollar index, okay? The dollar, if we look at the dollar, what is the dollar? The dollar is a basket against a basket of currencies, yeah? Because the dollar by itself, what does that mean? So watch this. Look at the dollar. Now, I called this long the beginning of last year down here. At the beginning of January 2021 over here, when this pivoted here at the bottom. I said we're going back to this 100 area, but look what happened. We've broken above the base. This is the bottom of a monthly base. This is the end of the trend. And you see, we've just broken above. We've got a next level up here. Okay. Now, look what happened. The dollar's already broken up, but the euro's not yet broken down.
Right.
Put the two together. So where do you think this is going? It's probably going to break. Yep. Probably going to break unless
probably
the dollar.
I agree on that.
Unless the dollar suddenly drops, then we'll hold this level and move up. But it's likely going to break. It's just a matter of time. Another one, you talk about playing bounces in a bearish market. Here's a great one as well today. There's another long trade here on this today. Off the bottom, this is a pound. Look where it is location-wise. We call this down to this area, to 1.2 area. You see the bottom, apart from this move down and then the catch here, which gave you the move up to the top, but we're right back down at the bottom again.
Right.
Look at this as a base. Yeah. So what just happened? Also, if you look here, we hit the level on the weekly chart, this level. Yeah. Go down to a daily chart. You see what I call price directions pointing up. So we're still in a downward moving market. Yeah. But we're going to have like a move up today. You can see we have another bar up today. So it's just a matter of how do you get into this intraday. So you see here, it turned here. So you get in and then you can get back in again here. And I'm looking for this to potentially break this area because we already did here. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So it may not do it today, maybe tomorrow that we may get up. I've got a target area around here. Here, and if it breaks, I'm looking for it to move back up again. We've got room to move.
Oh, yeah. Above 123, it's really got some real estate it could make up.
Could move back into 123, 124 above here. We've got room to move on these time frames. If you see what happened here as well, you see we're catching, we've changed trends here. This is a typical way a market puts in the bottom. It bases, goes down and snaps back. Notice the move up, pull back, catching, and now we expect to move above here.
One of the most discounted currencies is that Japanese yen. It's like a 20, 25-year lows. Is there any possible port in the storm for that thing?
What's the symbol for that one?
So this is a dollar yen. Let's look at yen futures. Yeah. Oh, right. This is a beautiful one.
J6M, I have.
Yeah, I'll go to the yen futures.
JY.
This as well. Here we go. So, again, this is at all-time lows or coming off the lows. You see how we broke this level? This is the lowest it's ever been in,
right,
20 years.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Do you see any signs of life here, or is it still a dark tunnel out there?
So you can see that it can go down to a weekly chart, and you can see we kind of tried to turn here. Yeah. So we're going to get, we had a bounce going to the daily. We've got to get above this area. You see, we moved up to this area last week, we're moving back down again. We're trying. So if we can get above this area, maybe we're going to have a move up again. This is a bounce in a bearish market. Until the trend changes, we're still down. Smaller time frame, notice the same thing. It bases below, comes in, moves above, comes back in. So now we're in neutral zone.
Because it would have a potential of a short covering rally if it got above a certain level, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we're after quite a big move down, but it's not kind of... We said also we call this, we break here. You can see a clue of that here. You see how it broke and it couldn't get above this level. It broke this level, hit this, bounced and couldn't get above. So it went straight down. But here it looks like we may have, after so many weeks down, we may have a move to the upside. But I think we've got to get above here. There's a tail here with selling pressure still, which is what you're seeing happening. We've got to get above this level.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, otherwise it's pretty weak. And again, this is playing a bearish market on the bullish side, you know, playing bounces and bearish. This is what you asked, how to trade a bearish market on the bullish side to play the pullbacks.
Well, the one thing you have to do is keep it on a fairly short leash, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're trading on the smaller time frames here because, I mean, maybe the weekly chart may have some room to move. We could get up to this 8 area, back up to where, we could, since we broke this level, we could go back up here and we'll see what happens there. If we go all the way back up here, then the pullback will be probably buyable, and that will be another, we'll start to move up again.
You know, a big thing out there on the energy front is natural gas, and some people are thinking it's going to be at 9 or 10 by the fall. Can you take a look at natural gas under your system and see if there's anything there? NGM is the future thing.
Yeah, look at the futures.
It had a big correction from 9 down to 6 and change, and now it's trading in the 7s.
So this went up, if we go top down. So you can see, I mean, it's been at higher levels before.
Yeah.
It's kind of, look how we came there. Look at the pretty much. So that's a significant level. Now, if we look on the weekly chart, I'm just going to notice that we're holding these lows. We pushed up to new highs here and we pull back. So this is kind of interesting. We're probably going to go sideways in this range for a bit of, unless we, if we go below here, we'll have a move down. If we go above here, we'll go to new highs. And you can see here, the market, see this move down went below here.
So that's kind of a break of trend, huh?
So this, notice this move up, yeah, tries to go down here, fails, tries again here and fails. So, you know, we've got to get a, I mean, this is supply, an area that moved down to new lows. So if we go all the way back up to this area, then the pullback will probably take us to new highs. But at the moment, it's trying to kind of turn to go down, but it's still drifting up.
It's all, the whole commodity sector is very fascinating this year because, you know, there's been a lot of highs that were made that, you know, have not been exceeded lately. And there's a lot of optimism in the commodity sector that they are extremely, you know, bullish and strong. And it'll be interesting to see how it pans out as the year progresses. If, in fact, we're going to go into some hyperinflation thing where, you know, we start seeing these prices really go nuts, or if this is kind of a high point and, you know, between the Fed and the economy slowing, a lot of these commodities will lose their gas by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting. We look at the beginning of this year in January, we had this mow up. So February, you want to be buying the pullback as long as it stays above here. And there's your move, a nice move.
Now on the sunny bands, I'm looking at that same thing. And in that January timeframe, we could not move really below the dynamic moving average, but bounced off of it and went back up. So that's a good, strong sign. And right now, this is on a daily, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days ago, it broke below the flat DMA. Flat means it's probably not going to get very far beyond that. It didn't, and it went back up again. And I think we're going up now to 841, which is where the upper inner band lies.
But by the way, interesting, from a price action perspective, this is your line in the sand or zone in the sand, so like that. If we stay above the low of this bar, it's bullish. If we go below here, we're going down again. Okay, so this is, if you look at the low of this bar, 7.
And that's about where the sunny bands are.
So the 08 highs are 13 and change. So, you know, if it does get going, you know, you don't know. 13 and change was the 08 high. So if it's going to make a run at that, there's still plenty of leg room here. It's pretty far away from its moving averages on a long-term graph. The averages are down at 4 and 5, and this thing's trading at, you know, 8. But sometimes these things get a life of their own and they have that parabolic final move, huh?
Yeah. I mean, this is an interesting bar because this could have closed red and we would have gone down. But the fact that it closed back up, it means that there's still, you know, there's still interesting buyers here. The demand's still stronger here than the supply. So that's why we had a pop here, similar to this move down up today. But why is it not going higher? Because we've got supply here.
How about if you just put if you put up Apple, because Apple's such a big part of the stock index. How is your analysis on Apple right now?
Put up Apple.
Because it's kind of crunch time for that. It's either hit its low at 138 last week, or this is just a little bounce back, and then we've got more to come.
Here's a level. It's got to hold this level. If it breaks here, we're going lower. We're not in an upward moving market. We're not in an uptrend anymore. We stopped the trend here. We broke below this level, but we're still in demand. This produced new highs, but we're not in an upward moving market. So these moves up may get sold, just like the rest of the market.
A lot of people are hoping these guys will come out of the woodwork and buy their own stocks back because we're out of that period where they couldn't do it because of earnings. So they're really hoping that these guys will show up with their checkbooks and start buying Google and Microsoft and Apple and Amazon with their their treasury cash. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, if we don't hold this level, then we're coming down here and there's nothing much here to stop price. We could drop way down. These levels could go much lower.
You guys ever look at CAPE ratios or Wilshire index versus the GDP? Because those valuation models, you know, obviously still have some room to go on the downside. And that's what's confusing to people when they hear all these great earnings, but the stocks go down. You know, it's really a double-edged sword. They're contracting these valuations. And also they are concerned about, obviously, some type of recession down the road. But I think it's the valuation story that's been going on since November of 21, because these companies are still making money. So, you know, explain how you make money and your stock goes way down. There's only one explanation in my view, and that's that they're not paying as much for that dollar of earnings as they used to, because the interest rate environment has gone from free money to it costs money now, you know?
Right.
But this CAPE ratio is still at 32. And the
do you have a symbol for that?
I just looked it up on the, I don't know if it trades or anything. It's, yeah, that's the only problem is I don't think it trades, but you can get it, you know, kind of like the growth to value ratio or the Wilshire index versus the GDP ratio, which is called the Buffett indicator. I was looking at that. And some of these indicators are coming off of very, very high prices. So reversion to the mean, you know, takes time and price, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of one of the things. But we'll have to see.
Take the screen.
Let's do this at this point, which I think is important. Sonny, go over exactly when people call, exactly what you can do for them. And then Simon will get a chance to explain exactly what he does as well. So, Sonny, let's start with you and explain when people contact you, some of the things they can get a benefit from.
All right. Thank you. You know, I saw some posts this morning while I was getting dressed that said, I've been trying trading for X number of years. One of them was 4 years and I've never made any money. How on earth am I going to continue to do this? The first thing I do when I talk to people is give them a free lesson in how to learn to trade. I like to teach people to fish. I like to teach them to trade. And I've been doing it successfully 41 years. And I have a formula for how to look at the markets. And I like to help people learn. So consulting, if you look at, I can't click on your screen. If you look at products and services, mm-hmm. and pull down to that, there's consulting and programming, mentoring. Okay. So I am happy to help people learn how to trade or learn whatever they'd like to learn about the markets. I have read 745 books on the markets and I come to you as a consultant with lots of information and lots of knowledge. The next thing, of course, is if you go back to products and services and you pull down to indicators, that's the first one, indicators and strategy. So I have a whole list of the indicators that I use in my own trading, which I then make available to the public. So all of these things are things I use in my own trading. I have a free trading room, live trading room, every Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time. I have a free newsletter called Sunny Side of the Street. It comes out every Sunday afternoon or evening. So you can sign up for those free things if you just want to get acquainted.
Sure.
And that's what I do.
That's perfect. Simon, as far as some of the things that you're doing and when people contact you, you know, what kind of added value are you going to be bringing to them?
So I would say I have a YouTube channel. You can go to the YouTube channel. Lots of free videos there. It says start your future trading plan here. So you can get started now, teach you a little bit about how to build a profitable trading plan. It gives you an example of a plan there as well. Once you're on my list, you'll be invited to different webinars. If you scroll right down to the bottom, there's the last webinar I did, which was last week, 11th of May. And you'll see how I approach reading the market. And you'll see the call on Bitcoin before it actually went down.
Sure.
We said it's probably going to go down and break this level and go down to. So the analysis is there before the market actually played out. So I would say, you know, go to the website, sign up, get the free information, and just realize that I'm primarily focused on price action, no indicators. So what you'll learn is how to read any market using price alone and then be able to develop your own trading plan that fits your personality and lifestyle. One of my students is now, she actually is teaching a course called How to Trade the NQ at the Cash Open. So she trades about half an hour every day. And we have a group of people that are following her kind of mentorship who have gone through her training. That she put her training, it's like 5 modules. And they're trading pretty accurately the first half an hour of the NQ at the Cash Open and using price action techniques only to basically know which way to play the market, how to get in and out, how to manage risk and trade consistently. I don't believe this is run by Jane. She hasn't had a losing day in well over a year. I mean, year 2 years, she can't remember the last losing day. She had losing trades, but not a losing day. And a lot of the people following her now on her tutelage are also, I mean, this is like the next level because this is a specific strategy as opposed to the framework and to develop yourself. So she has that strategy of you learn exactly what to do, and then you'll know exactly what to do at the cash open if you're the fast and furious trader who wants to be done and dusted every day in about half an hour. So, and again, get acquainted. You can join. We have a group of people, and we have a Discord channel you can join for free. We have And again, you know, YouTube channel. And what I do recommend for everyone is to do the first training. If you go under education, there's the first training called How to Read the Trend. That's reading the trend using candlesticks alone. I recommend everyone do that to get a taste of what it's like to read the market using price action alone, using the trend. It's worthwhile doing that training. And I guess anyone who does that training, I'll give you access to the trading room for 1 month for free as well. So you can come in and join Discord and get a sense of if this is for you or not. So that's what I would.
Sure. I think both of these ways is for people to develop their own methodology and be responsible for themselves, because some of the big problems out there in education has been people charging thousands and thousands of dollars to basically follow momentum and growth traders who have totally fallen off a cliff. And they it doesn't even seem like they recognize it's fallen off a cliff. But the point is the people are probably very disappointed with the education and the cost of that. So like what you guys are doing, I am trying to, get people some education on the option area and basically going with 30-minute question and answer periods where we cover a lot of stuff. And so, learning how to hedge against downside risk and upside surprises is kind of a main theme, because those are the two main things that have been a big problem. The snapback rally, how do you hedge against that? And how do you hedge against this terrible market that's been going on since November of 21? So we've tried to help you with that. And we have the PDF report at optionprofessor.com. And when you go there, put in your email, we can talk about how to get that to you. So we're all trying to do one thing in common, and that is to try to help people help themselves, which is basically a lot different than follow me, I have all the answers. You know what I mean? And I think people who have gone with the follow me, I have all the answers probably are very, very, disappointed in that approach. So I think this approach of educating yourself makes a lot more sense. Okay. So anyway, guys, thank you very much for being here, Sunny Harris and Simon Klein. I think we went over a lot of information, but more importantly, people that are listening should go check out the websites and get more information that way as well. So thanks a lot, guys, for being here. Have a great day. I'm going to send it back over to David.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Yeah, a lot of good info covered today. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. Also, if you just go to timingresearch.com, this post will become the archive for today as soon as I can get it processed. Also, any of the past shows and events are available, indefinitely for you to review at any time. I just want to thank my guests again for today, Sunny Harris of moneymentor.com. And over the weekend, I recorded a podcast episode with Sunny for her new podcast. So that'll be out in a few weeks and I'll post that. But
thank you for doing that, David. It was fun.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for having me on.
It's called The Sunny Harris Show.
Yeah. So if you listen to podcasts, be sure to look up The Sunny Harris Show and check that out. The Option Professor was on one of the first episodes, so his is available now. And you've talked to a few other people as well that are available.
Oh, many, many.
Sorry.
We've got famous folks. We've got Perry Kaufman and Tim Slater, who was the originator of technical analysis, computer graphic, and Adrian Chogra-E, and who else do we have? Glenn Neely. Jim Kinney, the Option Professor, Michael Felagera, Peter Elides, Harry Boxer, Jody Samuels, and next week we're going to have Price Heedley. Oh, thanks for bringing that up, David.
Yeah, so there's the list, and the ones that are actually available now are
linked right to there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, be sure to check that out. We were talking about how just funny that it happened to work out like this, because I got my start in this industry with Price working for Big Trends almost 20 years ago. And then he's going to be on next after me. So anyway, thanks for, be sure to check that out, everyone. And thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
And also Simon Klein of Trade Smart Forex. Maybe you can have Simon on sometime too.
I would love to. Simon?
I'll introduce you.
Send me your number and I'll give you a call.
Sure.
All right. And then, of course, the Option Professor of optionprofessor.com was the moderator for today. And thanks, everyone.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.